Hey, welcome back to another episode of the Sports Legacy Podcast. I think we'll have a partial split back edition today.
Yeah, hopefully Jason will be hopping on here in a minute.
Yeah, it may turn into the triple option here in a here in a second, maybe.
birthday boy.
Yeah, Mr. Birthday boy, happy 21st birthday to Jason. His birthday was yesterday, so I think he ate too much cake yesterday is kind of what I gathered from his texts.
Party too hard.
Too hard. Cool. Well, if you're listening for the first time, thanks for turning it on. We appreciate it. If you have listened to us before, welcome back. Got some different stuff to talk about. We haven't really talked about baseball, basketball too much. Because, you know, for me at least, I don't, when it comes to the NBA, like, I just can't, I don't watch it until, you know, it gets kind of closer to playoffs because.
Which we're entering that time.
Because it's the same thing every year where people are like, oh, Golden State's slipping, and then they just start crushing everybody. So, it's about that time of the year where everybody is in that mode. So, yep. But I love me some NBA playoffs.
Well, you know what else I love?
Baseball's back.
Well, obviously, yes. But as far as on the NBA topic, there's a chance here that LeBron may not make the playoffs, and that would make me very happy. So that's the storyline I'm really following. That, my Pistons are actually in the playoff picture if the season ended today. So nice to see they kind of woke up after all the losing they did early on.
Yeah, there you go. A little Blake Griffin action.
Yeah.
hold them together.
And then our OKC Thunder are out there balling. Paul George is working on trying to become the MVP, steal it from Giannis.
Right. Yeah, it looks like, I think this is accurate. It looks like if the playoffs ended today, you guys would be playing Milwaukee.
Yeah, which would be a nightmare for us. But hey, just to get back in the playoffs is a good stepping stone.
Yeah.
I just need to figure out how to hit on draft picks and then maybe not trade their first rounder away for once.
Yeah, I'm excited to see kind of what happens. I mean, you know, when it comes to Western Conference, I really, like, it's hard for me to pay attention because I know at the end of the day who's going to be there, and it's rarely argued. So, but I, you know what team I was really surprised by this year? Like, they've had some...
The Kings,
but you know, Buddy Hield is finally panning out. So as he's my favorite college basketball player, like to finally see him, you know, coming into him as an NBA player after some already declared him as a bust. It just feels good, you know. To see him in the three-point competition, to see Trae Young in the skills competition, it was really cool for me. But the team that I was actually kind of surprised about this year was the Denver Nuggets. That is a super strong team this year. They kind of, I don't know, to me, they kind of came out of nowhere. I mean, you know, I follow football way more close than I do NBA, like during off season and stuff like that, but... just from stuff I've seen, the Nuggets surprised me this year for sure.
Yeah, and actually on that, the Nuggets, they've actually kind of taken the league by storm. Not a lot of people had them picked. Not a lot of people saw them coming out and doing this, so they've actually been quite a shock around the league. So it's not just you. I've heard a lot of, even Colin Cowherd was talking about it, like he was surprised by the Nuggets, which I think a lot of things surprise him nowadays. But yeah, they've definitely come out of nowhere, and like I was saying, it's a little easier for me to follow before the playoffs this year because my Pistons are actually relevant at this point, and they're not out of it, so I don't have to sit and wait till the playoffs. But obviously, unless we get above the 8th seed, I don't really like our chances of putting up much of a battle against Giannis, so it'll be a quick one and done probably for my Pistons, but hey, I'll be happy to see them playing some meaningful basketball down the stretch.
Yeah, future is bright, which is good, so... speaking of basketball, Zion Williamson just, you know, no big deal, just broke an entire shoe.
Yeah.
They, it's pretty crazy to go through, like, and this is why I love Twitter. I just, if you go to Twitter and just look up Zion, it's just the most hilarious thing, because people, I don't know if I sent it to you guys or if I showed you, but it was a picture of his shoes under the chairs, and it was a crying Jordan, that had me dead. But what's your take on, like, I don't know, everybody's kind of saying, like, just don't risk it, declare now, and just get to the NBA. Like, what's your take on that?
So, on that, like, I get their point of no point getting hurt in college, like, stay in, get your money and all that, whatever. But at the same time, he's a 18-year-old D1 athlete, game-changing kind of player. He's going to freaking be the face of an organization here in a few months. You can't freaking take the fire out of someone. He's a competitor. He wants to play. You know, he's clearly committed to Duke, or else he would be just sitting out the season and then going to the pros next year. So, like, clearly he wants to do something there. He wants to go win a title. So, I mean, if he comes back, like, I'm not going to take a take either way. Whatever he decides, I support him, because, I mean, I'm not in his shoes, so, or his broken shoe. So I'm not going to, you know, answer for him. Freaking, I'm not a college athlete. What do I know? If I were him, I would probably want to get back and play. So if that's what he decides, I totally understand, and I'm totally with him on it, because no one else should really be telling him what to do. It's his life. And if he wants to win a college basketball national championship, freaking go for it.
Yeah. And I think, like, what kind of, like, sparked that topic was the fact that, like, it got out there that, I mean, anyone can go look it up, but I mean, when the president is attending a UNC and Duke game, and the, like, cheapest ticket at the time reselling was $2,900, this is, like,
dude, I think those tickets cost part more of
that
than sparked
that conversation.
It was insane.
Yeah, and it's, like, I think I may have retweeted it, which I'll go ahead and read it here, because it should just be right here. So, Zion gets paid $0, can't sell his own autograph, can't make money off his own identity, can't sign an endorsement deal, has to risk tens of millions in future earnings, like, with injuries. Coaches are getting paid millions, and the NCAA makes billions off stuff like this. And the excuse is, it's kind of in, like, the SpongeBob meme lettering, and it says, but he gets free tuition. So it's like this, and this part of me, like, this brings up another thing, like, should college players be paid? And I, like, absolutely, I don't know if, like, the NCAA should pay them necessarily. It's more of, I think they should be able to allowed to have autographs. They should be, or to sell autographs. They should be allowed to,
sell jerseys and stuff,
get endorsements. 'Cause, like, hey, NCAA, like, the reason you're making this money is because you have the best player in the country and, like, one of the biggest rivalries in NCAA college basketball history. You're making so much money off this, and then you're saying, oh, well, the players can't do anything, but we're giving them free tuition. So it's like, I get it. I was like, but they're still college kids, man. Like, there should be no reason why they can't be endorsed, especially when they're going to go to the next level, and especially in basketball. Like, they're so quick to go to the NBA, you know, like, right out 18 years old, like, straight freshman year, they're in.
Yep, one
the
and
NBA. Now, like, because the NFL's, you know, they make, or the NCAA into the NFL, it's different. They have to stay a little bit longer, but I don't know if you saw. I can't remember his name. If you give me one second here, I'll pull it up. But it was a guy who, I'll find it in 2 seconds here. Awkward silence for a second.
Yeah, while you're looking that up, I'm totally with you on the, you know, paying for the autographs and the sponsorships, and especially, like, the jerseys. Like, I would love to get some Mizzou jerseys and stuff, but I don't want, like, a generic, you know, some random number that's going to be,
right,
could be some bench warmer's number in a year. Like, I want the name on the back and everything. And, you know, if they get a little kickback for it, so be it. They deserve it. They're the ones that there's a reason someone's buying that jersey. And then also for selfish reasons, yeah, I'm all for seeing them get some kind of compensation because I want my NCAA games back, dude. I want my NCAA football. Yeah. I want my college basketball, my March Madness, and then even the college baseball game I had back in, like, 06 was awesome. So, like, yeah, I want that back. So, I mean, it may be selfish reasons, but let's figure out a way to get them compensated so I can get my games back.
Right. And I think I found it here. I believe, see, and this doesn't pull it up, but I'm pretty sure it was, DeAndre Walker from Georgia.
Mm-hmm.
Who, see, but it doesn't, I feel weird that it's not bringing up anything about it. Or maybe it was, there was a college player in the NCAA, and you may think of his name when I say this, but, he sold a pair of team shoes, and
they just interviewed him on Stick to Football.
Yeah, and it wasn't DeAndre Walker.
No,
was it?
it was a smaller school prospect, I believe.
Was it Michael Dogby?
Yes, it was Dogby. That's who it was.
Yeah, and so he sold a pair of team shoes, and the NCAA was like, "Nah, dude, we are gonna suspend you." Oh, sorry, I got a frog in my throat there. Sorry for everybody. I'm dealing with something going on. But anyway, so he sold a pair of team shoes, which there was like only 150 made.
How much did he sell for? Like 800 or something?
Oh, dude, I think it was more than that, to be honest with you. But the NCAA suspended him and made him give the money back. I think he had to donate it to charity, which is okay, but I mean, at the same time, like, it just goes into this whole thing of let him sell his shoes. Like, I get it that it was team shoes given, like, and there's only this many, but I mean, who cares?
I mean,
I just don't, like, I don't know. They got to do something about this soon, and hopefully, like, I feel like it's being talked about a lot more now. So hopefully they do something in retrospect to that, and they got to change it.
I mean, NCAA's definitely got to get it fixed, because if not, then they're going to be in some trouble because they're going to start losing out on star players. And,
oh yeah,
you know, their ratings are going to take a hit because they're going to find other ways around it, whether, you know, they start going overseas and playing, like Luka was saying, or
G-League.
If this friggin' LeVar Ball idea takes off or something. Like, there's other opportunities coming up. And so if the NCAA doesn't make a change, they're going to be in trouble, which I think it's good that other opportunities are presenting themselves, because somebody needs to challenge the NCAA to get this fixed and create a better situation.
Right.
So, I mean, I'm all for it, but I still want a good product in the NCAA because I love college football and I love March Madness. And even the College World Series is an awesome atmosphere. I highly encourage you try giving it a watch sometime.
Yeah, I just think they need to, just like I agree with you, they have to keep the star power if they're wanting to, you know, if they wanted to succeed and continue to do what it's been doing, but they got to do what's right by the players here. So kind of, yeah, I mean, I guess you kind of made it segue. You said College World Series, so I know you are super excited that baseball is back. Spring games start today, right?
Yeah, one was supposed to be yesterday, but man, they're getting hit with like rain and hail and stuff right now. So I forgot who was playing yesterday, but they got canceled, obviously. So there's supposed to be several games on today. I haven't checked the weather or anything, so I assume those will still be a go.
Right.
Maybe I'll check that out here in a bit, and then my Royals and my Braves, both their games start tomorrow. So tomorrow's going to be a freaking wild day for me. I'm going to be hyped all day, bouncing off the walls with energy because it's that time of year again.
Right. Yeah, it looks like it was the Mariners and the Athletics that was postponed.
Yeah. I knew it was the A's. I couldn't remember who they were playing.
So, yeah, they played today. And then, yeah, Phillies and Rays. So, yeah, it's good. you know, I obviously a Royals fan. I'm kind of like I'm excited to. I don't know. We're back in that rebuild phase. So, you know, it's going to be again some years of despair, I think. But I don't know. I've liked what the front office has done with certain prospects that we've picked up, and a couple of the veteran players that we've, you know, signed. Boxberger. His ERA is kind of really high for a reliever, but
he's had several quality years though. So
yeah. So yeah, I'll take the quality over, you know, seeing I think his ERA was like 4.68, maybe higher than that. But I don't know. I think we're in an okay state. I'm glad where you didn't. I think keeping Merrifield is the move. We're going to need, I mean, we have Salvi, who's, you know, our franchise guy, and Alex Gordon's still there, but we just got to keep some of those players. My boy Escobar is not on the Royals anymore, so sad day for me.
Yep.
But, you know, I'm still going to go to Kauffman and wear that jersey proud. So.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you were talking about some of their moves and stuff. I like keeping Whit Merrifield as far as on the field value and everything, because I love Whit. He's one of my favorite all-time Royals.
Right.
But at the same time, had they traded him for some prospects, I mean, would have been on board for it. It totally would have been justifiable because, you know, we're in a rebuild. You got to bring in some talent. But same time, I'm still happy. I'm happy that Whit will be throwing on that Royals uniform, and we'll get to see that number 15 over at second base this year. And another season of Mondesi. That's always a good thing. I'm pretty excited to see what he brings this year.
Yeah, I've always liked Mondesi as a prospect and struggled a little bit, but he's young.
Yeah, it was nice to see him break through last year and have a pretty solid year, and hopefully he builds off that. I feel like his confidence should be way up there.
Right. But it's going to be good. I'll probably, you know, watch some of those. I have this weekend off, so I'll be watching some games. Maybe we have to get together and watch the Royals spring training game.
Oh, yeah. I can point out some prospects for you, and we can get some in-depth scouting and maybe get you a little more into the hype for the coming the future. But, yeah, so I got that coming. I'm pretty excited about that. And then, my Braves will also be taking the field. My boy, Ronald Acuna Jr., the rebuild was a year early last year, and they hit the playoffs. Unfortunately, it didn't end well, but right. I'm hoping they build off the momentum and they come back and really just take it to everyone this year.
Yeah, Braves are a good team. I pretty much followed them because of you for the most part,
mm-hmm.
and kind of watched what you put out. So I was in the loop there, and they're one of those teams that, like, I don't know, baseball is kind of similar to basketball with me, and like in a sense where, you know, we obviously have a team, the Royals, but and like I'm a fan of the Royals, but at the same time, like, I like a lot of different baseball teams, and it's similar where basketball, like, we don't have a team, so I kind of just follow players for the most part. But
well, the Thunder technically count,
I guess. Yeah, but yeah,
but yeah, I mean, I'm with you there, and especially, you know, the second half of the season rolls around and you start looking at the playoff picture, right. And especially, you know, if the Royals are still in it, like, I can definitely see where you jump on and get a little more intrigued. And the Braves are just a young and fun team to watch. So for people that are, you know, fringe fans or don't follow baseball, I always like go check them out because they're fun, they're young, they're energetic. Ronald Acuna is one of the greatest freaking talents I've seen, and dude's younger than me. So there's a good team to watch. Hopefully they can beat Jason's Dodgers this year because I hate the Dodgers and I'm tired of seeing them in the World Series choking on the biggest stage. So it'd be nice to see the Braves kind of get over that. Knock out the Dodgers.
Man, I don't think you fired shots at Jason last podcast for Drew Lock. So there's
I've kept it very clean, but since I'm trying to get him more into baseball, I'm gonna take some shots while I'm waiting because he needs to get on it.
Just on a couple things baseball wise before we switch here. Machado got that huge deal. from the Padres, and I guess they moved him to third base. So he's going to be playing third base instead of shortstop. Mm-hmm. So pretty interesting there. Do you know who do they have playing shortstop instead of him then?
So I'd have to look at their roster because I can't remember who played shortstop last year. But they have who will be coming up this year, 19-year-old Fernando Tatis Jr., and he's the number one prospect in baseball currently, and he's going to be a monster. And so that's why they're holding shortstop open for him, and they're moving Machado back to third, which Machado was playing third when he was in Baltimore on the Orioles.
Right.
So, I mean, it's nothing new to him. He's very familiar with the position, so he'll be fine there. And then with Tatis coming up, and then my boy Eric Hosmer at first base, the Padres are going to be another young, fun team to watch, like my Braves. They're actually they are the top-rated farm system, so they have a ton of young talent that's just waiting to come up in Fernando Tatis Jr. Right. Their shortstop is the leader of all of that, so if you see any spring training games on this year and you see the Padres, I definitely encourage you to check that out because Tatis should be getting a lot of minutes, and he's a very young, electric player that the MLB is excited about coming up.
Sweet, and then, you know, Bryce Harper still hasn't signed with the team, which is crazy. I guess he's officially not returning to the Nats, so...
Yeah, I just saw some report come through that the Nats are, they've moved on from him.
So, crazy, but he'll, I'm assuming he'll get the same, if not, like, similar amount of money.
I think he'll get a bigger contract than Machado.
Well, yeah. I mean, I would agree. He's definitely not getting anything short of, like, anything less than $300 million, so.
Yeah, definitely.
Cool. So, speaking of free agents, Le'Veon Bell is officially free. He put a tweet out that said, free at last, thank God almighty, I'm free at last.
Yeah, I saw that.
But now there's, like, rumors that he has went all the way up to 260 pounds, that he's out of shape. I mean,
his trainer was knocking those rumors.
I mean, come on. Like, I doubt it. I really doubt that he's really put that much weight on. I mean, I don't know, man. He could just be, I don't know. I mean, we won't know until we actually see him, obviously, and he starts working out for people.
But I just doubt it. Le'Veon sat out an entire year. I would be shocked if he came out and he was not football ready.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I feel like he was hitting the weight room hard. Like, he's driven. He wants his money. So, I feel like he's going to be ready to rock when it comes time.
Yeah, I agree with that. So, let's talk best landing spots for him. I don't know if you've seen the list. I mean, I'm sure you have. I can pull it up. Actually, like, it was the first thing I looked at here. The current NFL leaders in cap space.
The Jets and Colts are top.
And then
two.
You have teams that could use a running back. Besides them, the Raiders. I mean, really, the Raiders are about the only other team in here. Maybe the Bills, but
I think the Raiders are going to get their running back in the draft, and it's
Josh Jacobs. I agree. I've also seen, or I'm going to pull up the full list here. I don't think the Colts should at all go for Le'Veon Bell. Marlon Mack's on a cheaper contract, and
yeah, I totally agree there.
His current run style, as well with Hines, like, I think they're okay. Like, I don't think they're struggling in the run game at all to where I'm like, oh yeah, you guys gotta go get Le'Veon. Maybe go out and get AB, like, sure. Which, I mean,
yeah,
good Lord, I don't know. That's pretty intense. But I mean, I'm just picturing a world with that offensive line giving Luck that much time, and he has the option to throw to T.Y., Ebron, and
he's
AB.
Ebron.
I don't
want to
live in a world with that, but you never know.
If they can't get over their playoff hump with a decent defense like they have, and then those two those three weapons with Andrew Luck and that O line and Marlon Mack in the run game, like,
yeah, I mean, they have to make a splash in the free agency. They have too much cap room to not at least do one crazy thing. But
I'm confident in the Colts because Chris Ballard, as he seems to have hit just on everything lately. His scouting department, their draft game has been solid. Get a couple free agent pickups alongside another good draft, and man, the Colts are going to be a force to reckon with for the coming years.
So here's my feeling. I think he's going to the Jets.
Same. That was exactly what I was going to say.
Any other team, there's a lot of teams that make sense, but the teams that have the cap, like the salary space for him, I just don't see it. I mean, if you look at some of the teams, I mean, Ravens, Colin Cowherd swears he's going to the Ravens.
Really? I thought Colin Cowherd had him going to the Jets.
Well, maybe it wasn't Colin. No, I'm pretty sure it was Colin. I mean, it's Colin, so he switches things he says all the time. So, I mean, I've seen, like, Ravens. I've seen
shots
Jets.
At Cowherd today.
The Ravens have no cap room to do that, especially if they're going to try to re-sign C.J. Mosley. There's no way. So, I mean, out of this list, I mean, the obvious choice for me would be the Jets. I mean, they have little to no offensive help. They got to get Sam Darnold some help if they want him to succeed, because Sam Darnold's not the quarterback that you can just, you know, he's not Drew Brees where you can throw four undrafted free agents on a roster and he can throw a touchdown to each of them in one game like he did this year. So he's going to need some help. He can catch, he can run. And speaking of this, you saw the Stephen A. Smith thing. Oh my gosh, dude.
Oh my God.
The greatest.
That dude, he just needs to stick to basketball. Like, just don't ever talk football ever again. That's like the third bite they've got.
I know. I'm wondering at this point if they're just like doing it for the entertainment side of it, because yeah, because it's so funny because he's literally said the Panthers, and it was just like, oh, well, they have a running back who's underrated, which is Christian McCaffrey. And then he just responds with, well, they need receivers. I'm like, what are you talking about? Like, you know, well, he's not going to switch Le'Veon Bell to receiver. Like, come on. Come on, Stephen A. So that's interesting, but I'm glad to see that we both agree that the Jets is kind of the option here.
You know, and I don't know where they are in cap space. I forgot. I don't have the list in front of me, but you know who's a team I would love to see him go to see the kind of damage they could do? Houston.
Now, that would be interesting. They have cap space to sign him for sure.
If they, you know, move on from Lamar Miller, bring in Le'Veon
Bell. I think
they're
going to tag Clowney or not sign him at all.
Clowney? Yeah. Like, if you add Le'Veon Bell, another weapon on that offense with Hopkins and obviously Deshaun Watson, give Deshaun Watson another weapon and a danger in the run game. So, obviously Lamar Miller's done pretty good, but he's no Le'Veon Bell. You put Le'Veon Bell in with them, and things can get—they can become even more dangerous.
Out. They have those two back-to-back picks at the end of the second round, towards the end of the second round. So, round one, round two, they get some offensive line help, maybe some corner help, and then they use that one of those picks to wide receiver help. So, I mean, Riley Ridley could fall, and you pair, like, Riley Ridley up with, I don't think he's going to, but, I mean, the type of receivers that are in this draft, if you put them with DeAndre Hopkins and Deshaun Watson throwing the ball, I mean, all they need is somebody that's as good as Will Fuller and not, like, a piece of glass that breaks. So, I don't know. The Texans could be scary if they get Le'Veon, DeAndre, and they add another receiver weapon in the draft. That's definitely a team. The only thing is they have so many star players that they're going to have to worry about. They have $77 million in cap space. So they have the money for it. The problem is you have Clowney, you have the Honey Badger, you have Zach Cummings, you have J.J. Watt, which, I mean, he's not going to need to get re-signed anytime soon. But I think if they're going to have to either lose Clowney or lose Tyron, or, I mean, they're going to lose one of those two.
Yeah. It'll probably be the Honey Badger.
Yeah, I would assume. But, I mean, they could, like I said, with their pick, I mean, Jonathan Abram would be great in that defense. And he could easily fall to them in the second round. So they're in a good position. Yeah, the AFC is going to be strong next year, regardless of what happens. But, yeah, I'm glad we're in agreement that Bell goes to the Jets. And I that would be cool to see him go to the Texans. I also think that 49ers would be interesting, too. Mainly because they love to overpay for running backs. So, but, I mean, who knows?
So, you mentioned Riley Ridley. And right. He's my wide receiver one in this draft. But you mentioned his name reminded me of something I saw today. And it has me shaking my head. And I didn't send it to you or Jason yet, but I knew you'd get a kick out of this, so I wanted to run it by you. Chiefs social media, you know, I love my Chiefs fans, but they have some very outlandish takes and opinions, and I know it triggers you, and I know Jason shakes his head at it as well. In the past couple of days, what I've seen are draft takes saying David Montgomery this, Josh Jacobs that, and the one I saw today was Riley Ridley second round. And I'm sitting there looking at our offense, and I'm like, and then I look at our defense and the stats and everything, and I'm like, what? Like, this is a stacked defensive draft. Why would we even consider taking offense, like, especially in the first three rounds? It is absolutely mind-blowing to me. And if they do that, especially with the first round pick, like if we go wide receiver, running back or something, I will be so mad, because it doesn't make sense. If you had statistically the worst defense and the defense was the sole purpose behind every single game you lost this season, why would you look up to boost your offense? Because clearly, like, you need help on the defense, and this is the draft to, especially on like pass rush and even cornerbacks and stuff in the later rounds, like, this is the draft to load up on defense. So please do not take a running back and a wide receiver in the first two rounds.
Oh no, dude, that would be absolutely ridiculous. And I've seen I've seen the type of stuff you're talking about, because I see you retweet that stuff. And so, yeah, dude, I just don't understand why that would be necessary at all. Like, you guys could probably take four corners and four rounds straight, and I don't think anybody would be mad about that.
Yeah. And I mean, we could probably pull an undrafted free agent running back after the draft, sign him, put him behind Damian Williams, and everyone would probably be like, this guy's a freaking stud. So yeah, as much as I love Josh Jacobs and as much of a beast as I think he's going to be, we don't need him. We don't need to spend a first round pick, which I don't even think he'll be there at that point, but we would not need to waste a first round pick on him when you get, heck, freaking Demarie Crockett from Missouri. He'll probably be seventh round or undrafted. And that dude was one of the top running backs in the SEC. So, I mean, it's just, there's always talent you can find undrafted and stuff at wide receiver and running back, especially running back. So we better go defense, especially in the early rounds. Like, you got to go defense heavy. If on the third day of the draft they draft an offensive guy, I won't be as mad. But yeah, if we go first two rounds, as much as I love Riley Ridley and Josh Jacobs, if those are our first two picks, then I'm just going to write this draft as a failure, because we've done nothing to improve the defense.
No offense should not be a concern to you guys at all. And I agree with like what Jason says about running backs. Like, unless it's Saquon Barkley, people like a Saquon or a Zeke, like, there's no reason to take a running back, I think, well, in the like round one or two.
Unless it's Saquon Barkley and your team literally has every other position need filled.
Yeah.
Because as great as Saquon Barkley is, the Giants are picking in the top 10 this year. So.
Right. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Like, and he didn't really help him out. So.
Yeah. Like, he had a great year, but.
Phillip Lindsay did time, just as good.
Yeah. At the same time, you get a solid O-line, a good pass game, and a good defense, then you can put anyone back there, and they're gonna produce enough for you.
Yeah. And, like, I don't know the word I was about to use, but just saying, like, Damian, I don't know why everybody thinks, oh, yeah, we got to get a running back in the first round to replace Kareem.
Yeah, dude.
It's like Damian Williams did okay, guys. I don't know if anybody, like, I don't know if anybody realized that. But, I mean, there was times where Tyreek and Kelce were covered so many times, and guess who stepped up in those playoff games? Damian Williams was there. Passing game, running game, like, I don't know, like, sure, he's not as good as Kareem Hunt.
He had three
Hunt.
Touchdowns.
Yeah.
He had three touchdowns, like, four in the playoffs, three in one game or something.
Right.
Like, and I told you back when, because you were happy for him, but when the Chiefs signed Damian Williams, I went off on my rant about how hyped I was about that, and that's back when we still had Kareem Hunt. I was like, wow, we just got a great backup running back who could honestly be a starter, and then the stuff happened with Kareem, and we had to cut him.
Right.
And I was like, well, at least we got Damian. Like, that was such a great pickup.
So, game against the Colts, 5 catches, 25 yards, 25 carries for 129 yards and a touchdown. Conference championship against the Patriots, even though the loss was there. Well, they had
two touchdowns.
He had one on the ground and two receiving. 66.
Okay, so he had three.
Yeah, so he had 66 yards receiving because Hill had one catch. Travis Kelce had three catches. So Damian Williams still showed out, and
yeah,
you can credit it to Patrick Mahomes too. But I mean, at the same time, like, let's not be blind to the fact that Damian Williams produced, even in like, even when, you know, the late games against Seattle. Damian Williams, 13 carries, 103 yards. Damian Williams, 7 catches for 37 yards and a touchdown. Like, give me a break.
Yeah, he filled in for Kareem so well that I didn't even miss Kareem. Like, some people had the takes of, oh, well, if we had Kareem, we'd probably would have beaten the Patriots. I'm like, the running back was not our problem.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know where people come up with some of the stuff, but obviously, you know, when you lose, people get mad and they just like to point fingers.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm like, Damian Williams has done a great job.
The problem is the defense, again, that could not stop a comeback route to Chris Hogan three times in a row.
And then they finally pick him off and jump off sides.
Yeah.
But we're not going to go down that
dark road. Yeah. Yeah, we just kind of took a rabbit trail on Le'Veon Bell here. kind of like a little quick last thing here. You have to be completely unbiased, so you can't pick Michigan players. I can't pick Oklahoma players.
Oof.
Who's your favorite? And mine's easy. But who's your favorite player in this draft, and where does he fit best?
Okay, so it can't be a Michigan Mizzou guy. Nope. Oof, man. God, there's so many choices. I don't like this. Because I'm literally just like rattling off guys in my head right now. You can go first if you. I know yours is Devin White.
Yeah, mine's easy. Mine's Devin White. I mean, that dude is. If he had a Madden rating for awareness, like, if that's how it works, his awareness and play recognition are 99. That man, he's always to the ball. Like, if you go watch his tape, and I've said this all through the year, like, he may be on the other side of the field, and he may not make the tackle initially, but he's over there in the pile. He's so quick. He's so, he just gets to the ball. He could play, I don't think he's going to be a pass rusher in any way, but he's going to kind of fit. He's going to fit in a lot of schemes in this first round, I think. I think in this first round, and this is all dependent on if the Buccaneers get rid of Quan Alexander, which would be stupid. I could see them taking Devin White. It's a good fit there because if they don't have Quan, they need someone in that middle spot to help that defense out. So he's a good fit there. I also think, you know, for me, Denver released Brandon Marshall, and so Todd Davis is there. They could be really like just high on Josie Jewell, which I like Josie Jewell too. I think he's a heck.
Can't go wrong with him, Iowa boys.
He's a heck of a tackler. Like, that's his deal. He struggled in pass coverage a little bit last year. But I liked when Brandon Marshall went down for injury. I liked the way he stepped up. So I could see him and Todd Davis being okay. But even then, like, I don't think Todd Davis is really – he's on the decline. He's an okay linebacker. He gets the job done. But I think with us releasing Brandon Marshall, I think you add Devin White into that mix. And you have Devin White in the middle, and you have Vaughn and Chubb on the outside. I don't think anybody wants that. So, I could totally see John Elway doing it. But there's also a chance that Oakland takes Devin White at 4. I think it's easy that Devin White could go top 5 before. I don't even know if he'll reach 10. If he goes past 10 or 11, I'll be extremely surprised.
Yeah, I think Devin White's going to Cincinnati, unfortunately. I forgot to tell you, we were talking about Madden before we started our podcast, and I was telling you how I did a Giants rebuild and relocate and everything. Guess who went number 1 overall, or number 2, because Nick Bosa went number 1. Guess who went number 2 in the draft?
Probably Devin White.
Yeah, it was your boy Devin White, which made me happy because Josh Allen fell all the way to me at 12.
Yeah.
And so we're talking about our favorite prospects in this draft. A lot of guys came to mind, especially a lot of guys that are great fits for my teams. So, like, the Ja'Kai Polites, the Nasir Adderleys, DeAndre Bakers, Jalen Ferguson, Charles Minnehue, all those guys. But I'm going to go with my boy Josh Allen. He's received a lot of hate from two guys on this podcast recently. And again, I'm doubling down on it as the first college football game I've gone to in a long time this year was Kentucky at Missouri, and just watching Josh Allen on every play, like there was the 10 other guys on Kentucky's defense and Missouri's 11 defenders on one end, and then there was Josh Allen on a whole nother level. It was just a man among boys out there, and I am all in on Josh Allen. I love him as a prospect. He's my favorite prospect, non my team, in this draft.
I'm okay with it. I think he's a good player, but
yeah, I think he's gonna be solid in the NFL. And I hope this time next year, Jason's writing me an apology letter for his draft evaluation.
Mark it. Mark the day.
Well, yeah. On Josh Allen, on Drew Locke, I got like a list of like 10 guys that I'm gonna check receipts on for Jason next year.
Yeah, it's okay. I'll check a receipt on David Montgomery for him too. Not saying he's, yeah, I guess he said he's barely gonna crack the top 10 now, which is
ludicrous. Of running backs, not the draft.
Yeah, a running back, top 10 running backs.
Yeah,
it's absolutely ludicrous to think he's lower than 3. Between the running backs. But yeah, guys, that is all the time we have. Thanks for listening, as always. Sad we didn't get the birthday boy on today. Yeah, but
partied too hard.
He partied too hard. Too much pie, too much cake. but we'll get us all together next week. This was kind of interesting. Two podcasts in 1 week.
Yeah. Hopefully we'll be able to push more of those. Yeah. Because there's just so many more topics now with March Madness coming up, which go Michigan, go Blue. March Madness coming up, then you got NBA playoff push, start of baseball season. Yeah. Obviously, we got AAF, NFL draft talk, NFL free agency. A lot of topics. So, yeah, if we can get at least two podcasts out a week, I feel like that'd be a pretty good way to do it just with all the content coming up. There's so much to talk about.
Less than a month, and we get some free agency action in the NFL. So, but
don't we have the combine next week as well?
No. Yes. Is the combine at the end of? Yes, we do. Yeah.
Because I thought I saw something about Haskins is going to throw.
Yeah. We do get the combine. Yeah. We do get the combine soon, too. So it's exciting.
Beautiful.
It's exciting. All right. Thanks for listening, guys. Appreciate the love. Make sure you follow us on Twitter at The Sports Legacy. You can find Caleb and I's individual handles there as well. Thanks for listening.